Good morning, church. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stand with me as we come together and worship God through song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church today. Whether you're in person or online, we're glad you're having the opportunity to worship with us today. So I've just got a few things to announce and go over here. The Annie Armstrong Easter offering is in full swing. If you haven't already done so, there are envelopes around and you can give money to that in the hallway there or outside the doors here. We've got a lot of different things going on. If you didn't already participate today, we have Sunday school classes and small groups that meet at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And after church service today, they're going to have the mini cantata practice for the Mercy Tree, which will be on Easter Sunday. So those members of that, make sure that you stay afterwards. We've got a lot of other things going on. Karen Walton leads a Savior stretch. It's on Mondays in the chapel at 6:30. I'm going to say it's not exclusive for women, but anyone can come and attend, although I think it's mostly for ladies. But hey, if someone wants to come participate in that, you're more than welcome. Wednesday, not only is there a Connect meal at 5:30, there's also a business meeting with the, what is it? Let's see here. So many abbreviations. Prayer and Share will be following that as well. And then on Thursday, there's some local work out here at the food pantry from 9 to 11 at the plaza. And then also at noon that day, another abbreviation, I wanted to find out what it was. It is the senior adult meeting that day at Grace Southern Baptist at 12 o'clock. And hey, if you want to participate in that, you know where to go. Also, let's see, next Sunday at 8:15, there's going to be a Palm Sunday breakfast and fellowship. That'll be kind of in our foyer area here at 8:15 with Sunday school and church to follow. And then also next Sunday, Blake Harding is getting ordained into the ministry over at his church that he serves at, Highland Avenue Baptist Church. And I would think at this point, if you're interested in attending, please contact the church office. They're kind of coordinating the opportunity to take fellow church members over there that day. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to hand the mic off to Vic Petum, and he's going to go ahead and lead us in a moment of prayer here.
Thank you, sir. Well, good morning to you, and as we come together to pray, I want to lead and just share with you our love for God. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts for the many ways you have touched us in these past days, and the ways, Father, you've expressed your love for us. We just pray, Father, as we meet together this morning, that your Holy Spirit will come down upon us, will speak through us, and Lord, in all that we say and do this morning, we want to have your will being done. And as we, as your love for us is expressed in Jesus through the cross, through his resurrection, Lord, we ask that if there are those here who are not yet children of God, that the Spirit that we are sharing together will be at work and bring others, Lord, into the joy and the fulfillment of God's purpose in us take place. Bless Pastor as he leads us. Lord, we love him. We praise you for bringing him our way. But we lift him up this morning that you will speak through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Katie is now going to share a song with us entitled This Blood. And I encourage you to use it as a time of meditation and also just allow God to speak to you through the words that she's going to share.
I also want to apologize first. You're not getting the whole show. When I was up here practicing before church, my children were up here doing interpretive dance around me. So I apologize that they're not here, but... There is a blood that cost a life, that paid my way. Death its price when it flowed down from the cross. My sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave
Sit back down. You can stand up. We're going to continue to worship. So join me as we continue to worship God through song. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Songs of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. raise a mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever mug me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Please be seated.
Is where we're going to be at. So we were in Matthew 15 and Matthew 21. Am I on? Okay. I got a green light. There we go. All right, let's try that again. Okay, we're in Matthew 21, and we were in Matthew 15. We're walking through the idea of Son of David, okay? The idea of Son of David, that's the phrase that we're looking for, and we're looking for who used that. We studied David, the king, because that's who the Son of David is, right? David, the king of Israel during the United Kingdom. We walked through Saul and his sin. We dealt with that. We dealt with David being chosen as king. David gets chosen as king, and then it's like years before he actually takes the throne. As a matter of fact, he starts out just in the southern kingdom and ends up king of all of Israel, and the borders are expanded. As we walk through that, one of the key stories that's not up on your screen that we want to remember, that kind of sets up the stage for what we see today, is when after David gets anointed king, the next story is about David and who's that other guy? Goliath, right? Okay, David and Goliath. He happens to be a really big guy, and David happens to be a really little guy, and David's just like a shepherd boy, and this guy's got a beam, you know, with a 15-pound spearhead on it, and he's standing there. Who wants to come and take me on? Winner take all. And David is the one who steps up out there. He puts his trust in God. God takes down Goliath. And then we follow the story. In that, we saw once David became king, had a crown on his head after Saul had passed away, we saw that David was the spiritual leader. Why was he considered a spiritual leader? Because he was the one that brought the ark into Jerusalem, the city that he had taken. He brings the ark in there, and they have this big worship and big offering, and everything takes place because he wants the people to follow God. And as we look through David's life, we find that David asks God over and over again, what should I do? So he's a spiritual leader. We also saw him as the military leader. Okay, the military leader. In one of the chapters, it just lists all of the kingdoms that he defeated as God was with him wherever he went. And those kingdoms fell. And so his scorecard was David was undefeated in those battles. And the kingdom expanded. Then the last thing that we looked at as David was the king was the repentant leader. And this was the sin with Bathsheba. And we saw Psalm 51, beautiful psalm. He repented of his sins. So here we are as we walk through the New Testament. That's where we're at now. That's where we've been for the last 3 weeks, this week included. We've seen people cry out the words, the Son of David. Who recognized Jesus as the Son of David? Well, the first week it was the blind man. Blind man on several occasions, whenever they came to Jesus, cried out to him, "Have mercy on me, Son of David." That's how they recognized, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That's how they recognized, blind man recognized who Jesus was when the crowd around them did not notice that. Last week, it was the Canaanite woman, the enemy of God's people. Back in the Old Testament, the only time that word is used, Matthew used it to describe the woman who comes to Jesus. And Jesus kind of flat out says, "I came for Israel. Why would I give the bread that belongs to the children to the dogs?" And she said, "Even the dogs eat of the crumbs." And so she recognized, a Canaanite woman from outside of the kingdom of the Jews, she recognized Jesus as the Son of David. Now this chapter here, in chapter 21, this chapter takes a turn and we see Jewish people actually use this term. Now, when we walk through this Son of David and we see the people that recognize it, what was it that led them to see what others missed, okay? What was it that led us? How did they see Jesus as the Son of David? What did they see that others didn't? This is the thing that's perplexed me as I walk through this. There's the religious people, the people that studied God's word day in and day out, the people that taught God's word day in and day out, the people who claimed that they were close to God, yet they didn't recognize who Jesus was. Matter of fact, we see that they're the ones that put him on the cross. So it's the people who should have known who Jesus was, who didn't. And yet I look at the ones that recognize him as the Son of David, and I'm going, these are the people that probably should have missed it. But yet they're the ones who saw it. So my concern is this. I don't want to be the guy who's teaching God's word, the guy who's studying God's word, and you don't either want to be that person that misses what God is doing in our midst. That's my concern, right? As I read through that, because I'm all proud, right? You are too. I would have known who Jesus was if I'd have been there, right? Now just think about it. I had to walk, "Jesus, I'm glad you're here. I showed up with the magi. I showed up with the shepherds because I knew you were coming, and I've been here all this time, and now I'm waiting. I'll be waiting outside the tomb. You get up Sunday morning, come out of that tomb, I'll be there for you," right? That's what we think of ourselves. But the fact is, oftentimes we miss what God's doing, just like these people. So that's my concern. We walk through that. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to ask you this question, because we need in this message, in this understanding of the scripture, we're going to need to back up a little bit and understand the Jewish thought at the time of Jesus. We need to understand who they were and what they wanted, what they thought they needed, okay? This is the question. What was the greatest need of the Jewish people at this time? And we're referring to the time that Jesus, so we're about 30, 31 AD, excuse me, and Jesus is there, and what were the Jewish people thinking their need was? Now, here's the key. The Jewish people were not, they were a kingdom without a king. A kingdom without a king. They didn't have a government because they were under the rule of the Romans. We look at the Roman Empire, wow, that was a really great, look at all of the things that the Romans accomplished, the roads, etc., all those things that took place during the Roman Empire, how they expanded that. But when the Jewish people were under the thumb, the heavy thumb of the Roman Empire, they weren't all that tickled about it. They didn't like being under their rule. As a matter of fact, they were oppressed and they were taxed. How many of you like taxes? There's nobody here raising their hand, and there's nobody online raising their hand. And as a matter of fact, when we read in the scriptures, the tax collectors were everybody's favorite guest, right? I mean, you know, when we walk through the chosen, Matthew, the tax, he's not very well liked at all. Why? Because they collected taxes, and the other part of that was they weren't always that honest when they collected taxes. How many of you feel like you're getting taxed too much? These people knew they were getting taxed too much because they were adding other fees on top of the taxes because they could do that. And so that's the land. That's the time that they're living in. They're not under, they don't have a king. They're under the rule of an empire that they don't like. They're being taxed. They're being told what to do and how to do, and things are not good. This environment is not conducive to being a Jewish person. What did they want? Let's think about that as we see what happens. Now, we're actually, in the scheme of things, we're about a week early with this passage of Scripture. About a week early with this. Because we're going to read about the triumphal entry. So you know, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. It's not today. But we're going to look at it because it mentions that phrase, Son of David. It's the perplexing thing that we have to do as pastors, whether it's here or someplace else. When we come around, the Gospels concentrate heavily from the triumphal entry to the resurrection. The bulk of the Gospels you read concern about that. So how do I get all of that into a Sunday or two? Well, we're going to back up and we're going to start early. And so that's what we're going to cover. So here we are in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to see what Jesus does here and what the people do. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stared, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's break down what we just read there. Let's try to understand as best as we can what was taking place in these first 11 verses. He says, Jesus says to two of his disciples, "Go into the village." I love this because this just baffles me. He says, he sends two guys, "Hey, I want you to go get this donkey, this colt. I want you to go get it and bring it back." He doesn't give them explicit directions. If you're giving directions to somebody, how do you do that? It's the first counter pass. You give them some, but you're directing them to a specific place. He just says, "Go into the village and look for the animals. And when you find the animals, untie them and bring them back to me." That's like, go find a car with keys in it. And you know, think about it. If anybody says something, right? That's what Jesus asked him to go do. Go get these animals and bring them back to me. And guess what? When you read the Gospels, not only does Matthew record it, but the other Gospels, Mark and Luke record it, John records it. When they go do this, it's exactly like he says. There's an animal there. When they get asked about it, hey, go ahead and take the animals. If he needs them, go ahead. And there's a question about what all that meant. And it reminds me of the Last Supper, because it's the same kind of thing. Go into town and you're going to find a guy with a water pitcher, follow him, and then he's going to have a place for us to have dinner. And that's exactly what happens. It's what I would refer to as God things, right? Because it seems if I said, hey, we need a place to go, I'd have to check on how much it was going to cost and who had a place. And all. You know, you go on vacation, what do? You look for hotels. You just don't show up, and you don't show up at the square in Carlin and look for somebody getting water and follow them home. It just doesn't work. But that's what Jesus does. And so it works out. They go. God had this all planned out. This wasn't by accident. This wasn't just, man, he got lucky. Okay, you know, y'all wearing green. This is not about luck. This is about God's plan. God had this planned out. So he goes into the village. And as Matthew records the story for us, he's going to put a piece in here to help us understand. Because Jesus told him to go, Jesus told the two disciples to go do that. Jesus rode on the donkey because it was to fulfill the prophecy, the scripture, through the prophet. So this is a connection to what's going on here. Jesus needs to be connected to David. Jesus needs to be connected to God's plan for the Messiah, for the Christ. And so as Matthew writes this, he reminds us that this riding on the donkey, riding on a colt, was not an accidental thing. It was not a show. It was a fulfillment of the scriptures. As a matter of fact, if you've got those little footnotes in your scripture, it's going to refer you to two passages of scripture because you're expecting one, but it's two passages of scripture. And we read out of Isaiah 62:11. This is up on the screen. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, saying to the daughter of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Then we go over to Zechariah 9:9, which includes the bulk of what we read there in Matthew. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Matthew wants us to know that this is what? This is God's plan working out right before their eyes. Even if they didn't recognize it at the time, they now can look back on that triumphal entry and see that God was bringing the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David, into Jerusalem. Important fact for us to see that this is fulfillment. I love. How many of you got a study Bible in the middle there between the Old and the New Testament? It's got all that. It's got a little column that says, here's the prophecy, and here's where it gets fulfilled in the New Testament. I'd encourage you to open that Bible up in the next couple days. Look at those things and see, because this is when most of the Scripture gets fulfilled, is around this time, and to see what God was doing and how God knew. God laid it out. And then God made it come to pass just like he said. God wasn't hoping that it would turn out this way. How many of you fix something, you hope it's good? Right? You build something, you hope it looks good? God knew what he was doing. And God brought it to pass. Why is that important? Because guess what? God is not done telling us what's going to happen down the road. And what he said back here is going to happen down here. Close to what he said, kind of like he said, exactly as he said. We may not understand, we may not even see it until we see it in hindsight. God will bring to pass the things that he's proclaimed. And so, as we walk through this, this is the the story that we love. We love as little kids because we can visualize it, right? Because here in this, and we walked this road when we were in Israel. Of course, we had to deal with cars coming down the road. Jesus didn't have to deal with cars. We had to move to the side when the cars came up or down the hill. But we got to walk down this hill. We got to look at Jerusalem much different than it was in his day. But yet we can see the Temple Mount without the temple on it. And on this, you're imagining what it was like for crowds of people behind him. The commentaries tell me that that's a Gentile, or the Galilean Jews that have been following him, and that the Jerusalem Jewish people are coming out. And what they do is they begin to lay down their coats, but they also cut off the branches of the palm trees, hence Palm Sunday, and they lay the branches down. This is a parade. It's a big deal. Jesus on this colt, on this donkey, is coming in to Jerusalem, and the people have gathered together, and it's a festive atmosphere. It's a festive atmosphere. They're cutting the branches, laying the coats down, all just in awe of this Jesus, something that we've not yet seen. We've seen crowds gather to come to Jesus, to have people healed, to hear what he had to speak. This is the only time that we see a parade formation and the celebration as he's on the animal and he's coming in to Jerusalem, walking over the branches, over the coats. The people begin to cry out, Hosanna! It's praise, right? Hosanna to the Son of David. Finally, it's the Jewish people crying out. The blind men were Jewish too, but the people are crying out to Jesus. And they're crying out in this festive atmosphere, Hosanna to the Son of David. John 12:13 records it this way. They took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, Hosanna. Now they don't use the Son of David, but listen to what he does. Listen to what the crowd, John records. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. That's another way of saying Son of David. And then Mark 11, 9 and 10, those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. That's that wonderful picture that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. Is Jesus coming in? We know it's a fickle crowd. They change. But at this moment, they are all in on who Jesus is. They're all in on his entry. They're crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. What did they see? What made them cry out to Jesus at this point? Because the crowds hadn't cried out, Son of David, until now. And on this entry into Jerusalem, final week before the cross, they cry out to him, Son of David. What did they see? Who was, we see that after he enters, who is this? And they proclaim him as Jesus the prophet. That's who they proclaim. Who did they see Jesus as they were shouting out, Hosanna, Son of David? Who did they see? I want you to think about this for a moment because we see it bore out in the reactions that are yet to come. When we started out, I asked you the question, what was their greatest perceived need at the time? When they're standing there and Jesus is coming down, what's the thing that's weighing on their mind? Is it salvation? Their immediate need guided their understanding. Their immediate need guided their understanding. It's that thing that you need right now. It guided their understanding of who Jesus was. And in their day and time, what did they need? They needed somebody to ride in on a war horse and get rid of the Roman Empire to slay the Goliath that they were under the rule of at this point. The big government that they couldn't They couldn't come out from underneath of. They needed God to do something, and they saw Jesus. Even though he's riding on a meek animal, Jesus picked this out. This is not the war horse that we see in the old movies with the Romans on it or whatever, you know, all shielded up and ready to, with their shining sword and spears. He's riding on a donkey. Does a guy rescue the princess on a donkey? I mean, that's just not how it works out, right? Does your knight in shining armor ride a slow pack animal? Does a superhero show up in a Yugo or a Chevette? No. They come in. Bond never shows up in a Chevette, okay? Think about it. Here Jesus is. They're looking for a guy to come in and slay the Goliath. That's what they want. And that's what they saw. Even though he's on this donkey, they just look past that. We're good. Just show up and get rid of this Roman Empire. That's what they wanted. That's what they were looking for. When they saw him as son of David, they saw him as king. That's what they were looking for. Somebody to come in and change their immediate circumstances. I'm going to ask you this question here today so that we can tie this together to our time, to our lives. Because we're not under the Roman Empire. That's long since gone away. But what are the needs of our time? What are the needs of our time? It happens to be election year, so we kind of hear some of what our perceived needs of our fellow people, of our own people. How many of you would like inflation down? How many of you that a pressing need? How many of you would like to go out to eat and not spend $20 for one person? How many of you would like to go to the gas pump and find that it was under $2? How many of you would like, we're a month away from April 15th. How many of you would like to get money back instead of sending more? Get it? So our immediate needs form who we want Jesus to be. Our perceived needs cause us to shade our understanding of who Jesus is. When we walk through this last week, how many of you got caught in a storm? I heard several stories about people that either were in it. Adam had a guy had a power line across his truck coming to work. And the other people got through the storm and met on the way up. There was a tornado between us and our house. It looked like it ripped some roof off down there. And out in Ohio and Indiana, disaster relief is out there working because lives were majorly disrupted. You know, our power lines being down for a couple hours were a disruption, but not that kind. So what's their immediate need? I need tarps on my roof so the water quits leaking in. I need to find my house, my belongings. I need to put my life back together. At times, our immediate needs shade what we want, what we feel like we need. What was the greatest need of the Jewish people during the time of Jesus? Let's be real. They offered sacrifices, but the sacrifices did not provide the forgiveness that this blood that Katie sang about gave to them. This Jesus on the cross was what they really needed. They needed forgiveness of sin because it didn't matter what king was coming to throw off the Roman Empire, what they would still need, even after they were outside of the Roman Empire rule, they needed the blood of Jesus to provide them eternal life. That Solomon or any king that came after him could not provide. Only Jesus could provide. We stand in a world where we have needs, and it usually centers around political or economic. What we need is Jesus. We need eternal life. We'll get through all of this. And on the other side of this is heaven. And the only way to get there is not through a political leader, not through lower taxes, it's not through inflation dropping, it's not through a refund from the government on your taxes. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that provides for us eternal life. We need to remember that. That's the needs. The needs of their time is the needs of our time. The needs of their time seem to be the political and the economical. The needs of our time seem to be the same, just a different government. But yet, the real need is Jesus. The real need, the brokenness, is Jesus. That's the, His blood was the answer to that problem. What are we going to do? As we walk through, you realize that everybody's about celebrating Easter now that we're, once we get past St. Patrick's Day today. We're all in on Easter, on the calendar, the eggs, the family gatherings, the new clothes, all of that. You have the opportunity to speak Jesus to them without totally offending them. You try that in June, it's not going to be as easy. But you try it now. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me invite you to church. Let me invite you to hear about what God has done. Here's the thing that I want you to think about for the action step. As we walk through this, because as I looked at the Son of David, and as I looked at that in the Old Testament, as we looked at that in the Old Testament, I knew where we were going to get to. This triumphal entry. They're all in. Until they find out he's not the king that's going to deliver them from the Roman Empire. That excitement goes away. But yet Jesus gave to them more than they ever desired. He fulfilled the only need that we have through the ages. And that's the need of salvation. So here's my question. How do you explain to someone? They can tell you what they need, right? Hey, what do you need? Well, I had a guy in today. You know, and he comes by, Mark comes by, and on a given Sunday, almost every Sunday, he comes by and I pray for him. He has needs. But the greater need is Jesus and a relationship with Jesus and a deepening, growing relationship with Jesus. How do we get somebody past that point? In a couple weeks, early part of April, Disaster Relief is coming into our building, onto our campus, and you're going to have the opportunity, along with other people throughout the state of Illinois, to attend disaster relief training and get trained in all kinds of things. So when the weather happens, when a tornado, a flood, whatever might happen, and disaster relief has the opportunity to respond, to go out and help people in their time of need, clearing logs, hauling out mud, just whatever it might be. We also have the opportunity, because guess what? Their need is getting their life and their place restored. But we do disaster relief not just to fix broken homes. We do disaster relief as an opportunity to what? Tell them about their greater need, and that's Jesus. The victories are not houses, people back in houses. The victors are people that come to know Christ as their Savior. And this happened to be the way that God opened the door into their lives. They may have rejected Jesus before. They may have rejected the church before. But today, as we stand there helping them, we have an opportunity to share with them not their immediate need. We have a chance to take them to their greater need. We live around people. We work with people. We have family. They all have needs. They'll tell us what their need is. But seldom do they ever tell you that it's Jesus. That's where you and I come in. That's where God wants to work through us. As they share their brokenness, as they share their need, we need to be able to steer that conversation to help them understand their greater need. And that's their need for salvation. So this is your homework for this week, your action step. How would you explain to someone their greater need? Adam's going to come up here and lead us in a song. And I want you to think about that. I want you to pray about that. As a matter of fact, I want you to pray about who that might be Because you know people who have needs, right? Do they know they need Jesus? They need you to help them to see that. And so I want you to pray for that opportunity. And pray for the words. Because I'm going to guess that you've tried to before. You've thought about, I need to share Jesus with them. And you just get there and you freeze. I want you to pray for the courage. I want you to pray for God to speak through you. Because what we want to do is celebrate new life. We want to celebrate the victories of God coming and rescuing somebody from an eternity in hell. To have the reality in eternity of a future with Him. Let's stand.
Me to be a sanctuary pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Sing a couple more verses here. Today you might be here, and I've talked about presenting that gospel to somebody that you know. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't have an eternal home in the future in heaven. I want to give you that. If you don't know what that means, you have questions, you come down here, I'll talk to you, Vic will talk to you, Richard will talk to you. The person next to you will probably talk to you about it. Okay, because that's our greatest desire. It's to know that we'll see you on the streets of gold. Worshiping God together as we were created to be, but sin broke that. Maybe today you'd like to join the church. Maybe today you'd like to answer the call to become a preacher, to become a missionary. Whatever it might be that God is leading you to do, has been leading you to do. You make your way down here. We'll discuss that. We'll pray with you. Whatever needs to happen, we'll answer the questions. Let's continue singing.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary.
Father, help us. Father, help us to go out this day to be a witness of your love. Father, to be a witness of the greatest need that we have, that you answered when you came, when you died on the cross, when you shed your blood for us. Father, the hope that we have, because we celebrate a risen Savior who is alive today. Father, go with us, Lord. Help us to feel your presence, Lord. Father, I pray that you would work in our lives, that we might see your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things. Here's the Have You Reads for this week. These are the things that we'll talk about in the prayer and share time. That's what we do. I give you opportunity to out-talk me, okay? And so, usually doesn't happen. But anyway, but we get to talk about Scripture. I love listening to you guys talk about what you're reading, okay? That's the whole idea behind it, is that we would talk about Scripture like we talk about the brackets, like we talk about the NFL draft, all those things. Like we talk about the impending baseball season. Let's talk about Scripture because it's even more important than those things. So today, I just a couple things. Next week, next Sunday, is Palm Sunday. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. You heard Katie sing about this blood. That's what you're going to hold, a cup of grape juice in your hand, and that is going to remind us of the blood that he shed for us. Symbolic of that, the bread that we'll hold before that, representative of the body that was broken for on our behalf so that we might trust in Jesus. If you have not, because we like to hold the Lord's Supper for those who are believers. So if you're not yet a believer, I want you to come back next Sunday a believer. Maybe not baptized yet, but I want you to come back knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you can hold that bread in your hand and understand that it's not just terrible look tasting bread, but what it represents. And to hold that grape juice in your cup and understand that it's so much more than grape juice, that it represents the blood of Jesus. Come back this Wednesday night, and we'll do business. We'll do the prayer and share thing. If you want to travel over to Robinson and see Blake Ordain, that would be great. Great to have the support of that. And here's something I want you to think about. Normally we have services on Wednesday night. So this week we're going to have food and we're going to have the business meeting and we're going to have prayer and share. The following week we'd be back to no food and prayer and share. But what I want you to think about is, and I need help with this, because again I'd like to be out talked. Is I'd like to just move the Wednesday night to Thursday night and just begin to read the Scripture surrounding the Last Supper and everything that leads up to Jesus being carried away and put on the cross. We have some pictures. We have a picture of this pit in Caiaphas' house that we believe Jesus was in. Never really contemplated that until that day we were in Israel. So think about that, and we'll talk about that again, and maybe that's what we'll do for that week and that week only. But it's significant what we celebrate. It's significant what Jesus did for us. Guys, you can go home now.